I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the truth. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
That's a clip from Robert Ripley's radio series from the 1930s, Believe It or Not. There's been a long fascination with things that seem strange and bizarre, and St. Louisans have an opportunity to see some unusual things through January 3rd at the St. Louis Science Center. The exhibit is called The Science of Ripley's Believe It or Not. And earlier this month, producer Alex Hoyer spoke with Doug Rutledge, head of traveling shows for Ripley Entertainment. Alex first asked him to describe the Ripley's brand.
Well, Ripley's Believe It or Not is a collection of real artifacts that we display in what we call our auditoriums. We have 32 auditoriums around the world, and it's based on a tourist attraction. So the Ripley's Believe It or Not was a TV show, and actually before that was a radio show.
And that's the clip that we heard at the beginning.
Right, right. And before that, it was actually a cartoon that Robert Ripley started back in 1918.
Mm-hmm. And for those that might not have caught it, it's auditorium, not auditorium, ODD.
That's right, auditorium. It's not a museum. It's an auditorium. Mm-hmm.
So there's Ripley's Believe It or Not, and then the exhibit that's at the Science Center is The Science of Ripley's Believe It or Not. Well, what's the difference?
That's right. So we have, like I said, a collection of authentic artifacts ranging from dinosaur bones and artifacts related to space, human oddities, animal oddities, and anything that you can think of that we would find weird, odd, or unusual. And we partnered up with a group called Science North based in Canada. They're a science museum, but they also do exhibits. And they came to us and said, let us create a exhibition based on the science of your artifacts, Science of Ripley's Believe It or Not. We're a tourist attraction company, so this was a new field for us, and we teamed up with a great expert. So we've been traveling the show since 2013, and we're going to continue to travel it through 2019. But the show itself, the intent of the show is to utilize our artifacts and create science and education behind it. So it's to ignite the imagination. It's to ignite curiosity in both children and adults.
What's an example of something that's in the exhibit that comes to mind that is something that is odd, that fits in the auditorium, but that really has a message about science? I'm sure a lot do, but sure. What's an example?
Well, on display, you'll find a two-headed calf. You will also find a four-legged chicken. And that is on display to show animal oddities, but it goes into the science of why that occurs in nature. And so, you know, people will look at something like that and go, that's strange, that's unusual. But then you learn the genetic science behind why there is a two-headed calf or a four-legged chicken.
People get laughed at for being different. They get laughed at for having some kind of deformity. And I was wondering how you draw the line between having fun with something and learning from something versus laughing at something. And maybe it's this exhibit that is about the science that bridges that gap, perhaps?
Well, Robert Ripley was known to have unusual or odd characters around him. So it wasn't just collecting artifacts, but in essence, Robert Ripley had a group of people that were considered part of the Ripley family. And Robert Wadlow, who is a local person here of interest and of history
From Alden, Illinois.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He was the tallest man. He's the tallest man on record at 8 feet 11 inches. And Robert embraced him. So he might be unusual to some people, but he was known as the gentleman giant. And it wasn't somebody that you laughed at, but it's somebody that you understood because of his situation, because of how tall he was. And that exists in, you know, Robert Ripley actually had other performers and unusual characters, people that were born with half their bodies that were not displayed like a circus style thing, but actually were out to meet and greet people, and people developed a better understanding of who they were as individuals, not as some sort of freak or odd person.
Mm-hmm. Robert Wadlow, though, from Alton, born in 1918, he actually did tour around the country in the circus. So I guess it was probably a little bit of both.
Right. For that time, that was definitely a popular when somebody did look unusual or different, the circus was definitely a career path for them. But Robert Ripley actually embraced the unusual, whether it was artifacts or people.
What's something else in the exhibit at the St. Louis Science Center that interests you and that might interest others?
So my personal favorite is the Willard Wiggin exhibit. And Willard Wiggin is a sculptor, and he does microsculptures. And he creates microsculptures out of really, really tiny, tiny pieces of lint, cobwebs, dust particles, very scraps of iron, any type of little tiny, naked to the visible eye.
Really, that micro?
Yes. And if you look inside of an eye of a needle, you'll see an owl or Betty Boop, or on top of a pinhead, you can see an angel dancing. And they're naked to the human eye, invisible to the human eye, but with the help of a microscope, people can actually see the detail. His sculptures are the size of a grain of sugar.
Mm, I guess I have to go to see it.
You do have to go see it. It truly is a believe it or not.
I was also looking at some of the other things in the exhibit, and I'm going to blame you for this, that I've had Justin Bieber's baby song stuck in my head. There's a portrait of Justin Bieber made entirely of candy.
That's correct. We actually, over the years, we still collect as a company, as a group, Ripley Entertainment. And the gentleman that heads up the archives has been collecting for the last 37 years. And so he goes around the world, he and his team, in search of odd things. But we also have collected some unusual art pieces. So we've collected art pieces that are made from either odd or ordinary material or everyday items. So Justin Bieber happens to be one of them. But you want to go to the other direction. We have a portrait of Dr. Martin Luther King made out of stamps. Mm-hmm. We have a portrait of Nelson Mandela made out of coins. And we also have a portrait of Benjamin Franklin made out of keyboard keys.
And a portrait of Albert Einstein, I read.
Made out of toast.
Let's take a step back and talk a little bit more about Robert Ripley. His first auditorium, the first permanent one, was in St. Augustine, Florida, but that in 1933 at the World's Fair in Chicago, that there was an auditorium there as well.
That's right. So during Robert Ripley's lifetime, he had opened up six auditoriums around the United States, and they were very, very popular. So it was a place where he could show off his collection.
One of the quotes that I read from Christian Greer, who's the Chief Education and Programs Officer at the St. Louis Science Center, he said, "Science often begins with curiosity. What we may perceive to be weird or unexplainable can be better understood when we ask questions, observe, and experiment." And I think that's really true for this science exhibit.
Yes, I agree. And also something that I think is different for our exhibit is the fact that you can actually touch things. So you can touch a lot of the artifacts in the exhibits. We have a meteorite that's on exhibit that people can touch. How many people can say that they touched a meteorite? And in each exhibit, there is touch screens and interactives that delve into the science and the education behind it. But we present it in a way where people can relate it right to the artifact right next to it.
You said you can touch some of the exhibits. Can you eat the candy?
No.
The Justin Bieber portrait?
No, you cannot.
What about the Einstein toast?
You can't eat that either.
It probably wouldn't be very good.
I don't think you would want to eat it.
It's probably been setting for a while.
Exactly.
What else about the exhibit? What else is fascinating, do you think?
Well, from my perspective, and I think from what people look at, is how the different exhibits touch on different parts of people's lives. Mm. And you can personalize so many different things in there. Whether or not it's body modification exhibit, which people relate to, say, tattoos and piercings of today. But body modification has been going on for centuries. You know, whether or not it is with elongated skulls or the flower feet that the Chinese women, that they bound their feet, or elongated necks wearing the brass coils. These types of body modifications were a sign of beauty and a practice of culture in many places around the world. So body modification, I think, relates to people today.
The Ripley's brand is really all over. It's been a radio show, a TV show, and a newspaper, and that's still around?
Yes, it is. And we don't have a TV show on today, but we do a cartoon. We have a Ripley's cartoon that runs today still worldwide.
How would you gauge the interest in this kind of material now compared to the 1930s when the auditorium was at the World's Fair in Chicago? I read 2 million people visited that. How would you gauge the interest in this kind of material now compared to then?
Well, you know, today with the advent of media and the ability to see things that are, believe it or not, people see this in their living rooms now, or they see it online on their computer, on the internet, what have you. Whereas when Robert Ripley was exploring the world, it wasn't readily accessible, some of the artifacts. And a lot of people doubted the truth behind his artifacts. And that's why he went out to say everything was authentic. Nowadays, you can look up Believe It or Nots online, and you can see a lot of strange and unusual things that doesn't have anything to do with the Ripley brand or Ripley Entertainment. But what we do and what we try to do is still bring some of those unique items or artifacts or stories that still get people scratching their head. And so we relate it to today's audience, but there still is a lot out there that people can see and do on their own. But we still remain very relevant. We have 32 auditoriums around the world, and we continue to grow.
And one that's close to here is in Branson.
That's right.
What else about science will we learn going to this exhibit? We talked a little bit about the science aspect of it, but what other science facts might people walk away with?
Well, I think that you will learn everything from dinosaurs and how they lived. We also have an illusion exhibit as part of the display, and it teaches people when they're looking at something, what's the science behind what you see and what you interpret. So I think that is a pretty interesting thing for people, because when you look at something, it's not always what you think that you're looking at.
And I know the Science Center has some optical illusions,
right?
I think that are permanently there too.
That's right. What I find fascinating and really interesting about the St. Louis Science Center is that they do have that natural history background. And so they actually have a collection of Believe It or Nots themselves. Mm. So we're really excited, especially to work with a partner like Science North, and to be home at the St. Louis Science Center for at least just 3 months, because the show ends in January 3rd.
That's Doug Rutledge, the head of traveling shows for Ripley Entertainment, talking to producer Alex Hoyer. The exhibit at St. Louis Science Center is The Science of Ripley's Believe It or Not. You know you love me. This is Cityscape on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU.